Okay, let's begin. I'm going to start Rav Teperek. You'd give a pasuk test vav. Okay, pasuk says vav. We're up to page 198. 198. Yehu ve'nachim yafri yavoi kadim ruach Hashem mimidbar oylev yevosh mikaroi v'yechrav ma'ayonoi hu yishse oitzar kol kli chemda. Wow. Okay, what a collection of ideas, hard words, and many different interpretations of this pasuk. Simply, we are continuing to discuss the Aseres HaShvatim, and we are describing Ephraim in the collective noun as a child, as the Bain. And pasuk begins, Ki hu Bain Achim Yafri. He, Ephraim, amongst his brothers, Yafri. Yafri means, can mean one of two things. Either we can learn the word Yafri as if it says Yifre with a hey. We can make believe it says a hay, which means priya urviya, lashon fruit, a priya fruit, which means to multiply, that he will expand, he will be successful. But although, and then the pasuk would be translated to mean, although he amongst his brothers appears to the onlooker, to the observer, to be very successful, okay, yet don't looks can be deceiving. Don't look at his fruitfulness, his success. But you should know the end will be bitter. Yavoi will come, kadim, an eastern wind, which is from the harshest winds. We'll see more detail in one moment. Ruach Hashem, this is not just an ordinary wind. This is the wind of Hashem, mi midbar. It will come forth from the desert. Oile, it will ascend the yavoish, and it will dry up mikoiroi, his source. The source of his excess will be dried up. V'yecharav ma'ayano, his fountain will be destroyed. Hu yish said, the word yish said means will be plundered. He will be plundered. Yish means in the Inyan biza shalol, that the enemy will come upon him, and the enemy will plunder him. Oitzar, the treasure house, kol kli chemda, every desirable object, all blessing that Ephraim possesses will be plundered by the enemy, and in this case it refers to Sancheirif. Now that's all assuming the word Yafri means to multiply, to be fruitful and multiply, Piria Urevia. However, I think most unfortunately learn the word Yafri cannot mean to be fruitful and multiply, because why then is there an Aleph? The Aleph is not the correct last letter for such a word. And therefore, they take this word to be related to the word that we know from Yishmael, V'hu Yihiyeh Pere Adam, a wild man. It has a, what? That's an Aleph. Pere with an Aleph. Pere is spelled in the Torah. Oh, so okay, the Yud, that's just for the Reish. The Yud is a Chivik Mole. That doesn't have, really have any weight, the Yud.
It could be the same thing, because to grow wild.
Okay, to grow wild, but it is and it's not. Obviously, they're related. Obviously, whenever you have a word, you have two letters, obviously there is a relationship, therefore it means to grow, but there's a fundamental difference. Is it growing with blessing, or is it growing wild? When something grows wild, weeds, wow, what a blessing. Look at that. Look at that. Look how much blessing, look how much abundance there is, but it's not a blessing. Just because you have a lot of something, if there's no discipline, there is no control.
Yeah, like weeds.
Weeds, exactly. It's not a blessing. Adrav, it's going to cause damage to the field. On the other hand, when you have an abundance of grain, when you take an enormous amount of care and effort to develop something properly, that's blessing. So it's not a contradiction. Yeah, the word, you're right. The word Yafri, obviously, the root letters are pay and resh. We always find that. And actually, someone put out a book very recently, a fantastic book. I don't know what it's called. He goes through the parasha, each parasha, and the Chamish Shechum Shei Torah, and he takes all the words that share the same shoresh, even though they're very different words. Different words, but they all share the same two or three letters of the Shoresh, and he shows that there is a major theme in the parasha which encompasses, which brings them all together. It's a brilliant, brilliant idea, very unique approach to taking each parasha, each sedra, and trying to trying to find a single theme which flows throughout the entire parasha.
It's machlokes
between Rashi and Menachem. Rashi and Menachem.
Generally,
it's three. I don't remember who said. I think, but Menachem, he says it can be two. There's not necessarily a disagreement between them. There are different forms of the shoresh. The shoresh in the world is the poal. The poal is the pei ayin lamid, which every word, every single word, basically according to the basic rules of grammar, can be traced to three letters, called which we call poal. And the poal is pei. The first letter is pei. The second letter is ayin. The third letter is lamid. And even though sometimes those letters, the pei or the ayin or the lamid, can disappear, it can drop out because the word is being in the form, the grammatical structure of the word allows one of the letters of the pei ayin lamid to temporarily disappear. To disappear in this context, which indicates that the truth is really the shoresh is not pei ayin lamid, since you only really need two. That's the whole debate. The debate between Menachem and Rashi and Dunash. Anyone else that left out? Menachem, Rashi, Dunash. These are the three that are very, very, very common. Very common in Rashi. Enochinami. Here is a very good example. We're going to see in Sadhu Farsh in a few moments. Right, it's rare. It's rare, but there is still a connection. The two letters. You find many words which, like, it's a very good example. The word of Yehu Yiyeh Pera Olam, and then there is. There is the Peru Urivu, Puria Urivia, to multiply. Puria Urivia is a very positive expression, to be fruitful. Vuhu Yiyeh Pera Olam is not a very complimentary thing to say about a person. But the truth is, to the observer, they're both the same. They both represent an abundance. They represent the breaking forth of your boundaries, not to be limited. Not to be limited in one area, you break forth. But when you break forth, it can be a blessing or it can be a curse. So here we have a very nice example, the word Yafri. It's the same letter as Peresh, which obviously comes from the fruit of fruit. A fruit is something which is like the next generation, which breaks forth, a continuation in abundance, Peresh. And then they can be both ways. So here we have Machlaikis, something we'll see inside a few moments, what exactly the word, what it means. And it's going to change. If you're going to say that it means Yafri, means to be wild, that Ephraim is going to be Behu Bein Achim Yafri. He's going to smash the barriers. He's going to do things that are basically unacceptable. There are laws, there are halachas, and when a person goes past his limits, his limitations, he has entered into the world of being a pera adam. He has broken forth. So then, if we translate the words Behu Bein Achim Yafri to mean like pera adam, then the pasuk here is going to take on an entirely different meaning. So let's see inside with a little more precision. Let's start with the mitzvah. The stuff on page 199. Okay, 199. Page pasuk tezvav kihu ki mitchila haya Ephraim megadel peri bein ha'achim. So this is the theme that the mitzvah said in the previous pasuk. At the beginning of this pasuk, and now here. The pasuk is a contrast. The first section of the pasuk looks back at the good old days when everything was good, was fine, was mole baracha. In the past, Ephraim, referring to the Aseres HaShvatim, was fruitful. He was megadol peri bein ha'achim. Ritzon loymar shayagadol v'chashuv bein ha'achim. And we mentioned this before. That from all of the Shvatim, this is an insight that the Malbim really presented much emphasis. That you would never know this is not for the Malbim, and he shows this back with us like 2 weeks ago, that Shevet Ephraim was the most respected in the entire Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael wanted to send representatives, ambassadors to other nations to represent them, who did they select from which Shevet would represent Klal Yisrael? Members of Shevet Ephraim. They made an impression. They were good representatives. Each Shevet has their strong points. Yisachar was the Talmidei Chachamim. Yehuda was leadership. Zvulun represented the wealth of Klal Yisrael. Dan was the Ma'asef. They were Isaac in extreme, in Chesed. They were in charge of all the bikur cholim and all the different types of chaverim and hatzalah, all the different organizations. Was shevet kiruf was shevet dan? Okay, will the chazal the mikubalim tell us that in our generation we're all from shevet dan? What does that mean? I don't know. They'll tell you it means all gilgulim, but I don't like that word. You all know. So whatever it means, we are now in Yemos HaMashiach begeder dan. Ma'aseif l'chol ha-machnas. The whole Klal Yisrael is already passed. We're at the end. We're coming at the end. All right, whatever that means. Each Shevet has their strong points. Shevet Ephraim were the best representatives of Klal Yisrael. They knew how to promote the Jewish cause.
Diplomats.
Abba Eden, where did he come from? What Shevet did he come from? did we ever have such a good ambassador since him? Since it's been a long time, we had someone that had such a reputation.
He wasn't so simple.
No one's simple. No one is simple.
He was only popular abroad, not popular.
Not within. Okay, but
he had his brothers-in-law.
He had talent. That's one thing that we do know. He had talent. Listen, no matter what you are, everyone who is a leader is always controversial to some degree, right? There's no such thing as a. That's how it is. Everyone has their specialty. So he, Ephraim over here, is the mitzvah here. He says what the Malbim said way back, and it all comes from the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. The bracha was v'ulam achiv hakaton yigdal mimene. The bracha that Yaakov Avinu, a special bracha, he gave to Yosef. And that bracha was transferred to Yosef's children, which Yaakov himself, who sikel es yodav ki menashe habachar, he gave Ephraim a special bracha, b'chol yivrach yelokim yitzimch elokim ki Ephraim v'chim nashe, v'yosem es Ephraim lefnei menashe. So Ephraim was the representative of Klal Yisrael, shnem avhu lom b'achim yikod na yigdal mimenu, and that's why then, and over here, we're referring to all the Aseres HaShvatim by the name Ephraim, because of Yeravam ben Nevat, their leader came from Shevet Ephraim, Yavai Kadim Ata now, so now we're coming to contrast now, Mishachotab Egle Chazav, Yavai Ruach Kadim, what is Ruach Kadim? The Mitzvah says, Ruach Chazak Haba Me Hashem. It's a very strong wind which comes from Hashem, Choyle Min Hamidbar, which comes from the desert, She'ein sham davar la'akev choizek neshivas haruach. If there are mountains, if you have winds, and the winds have to pass through regions of the world where there are mountains, large mountains, the winds are dulled. The winds are held back to a certain degree. I don't know how all this works. It's very sophisticated. The meteorologists and all these science that goes into understanding hurricane patterns. And it's very fascinating the science, technology behind weather patterns, exactly how this works. But here, this pasuk tells us something very insightful, that when it comes to the Ruach Kodim, Yavai Kodim, and the, over here, according to the Mitzudos, the Ruach Hashem is modifying Kodim. We all think that a lot of, like, the hurricane, tornado, are just, it's natural, it's teva. If you knew the science, you could predict this from the time of Maaseh Bereishis. Is there such a thing to say something like that? Is it, what if there was a hurricane? Are you going to say it's the Yad Hashem? Hashem now came along and struck down this city, this country, is a punishment? Or do you say it's a natural disaster? Hey, come listen over here. It's a natural disaster, and natural disasters are something which are, it's a biological clock. There are earthquakes, there are hurricanes, there are things, there are volcanoes, there are things that are meant to happen from the time of Maaseh Bereishis, and if you happen to be in the right place, the right time, or the wrong place, the wrong time, then you're going to...
That's about everything, it's not only about what?
Okay, I don't know that everything... That's a tough question, that's not necessarily true, but when it comes to natural...
You have electrical fire.
Yeah, but the house was built less than a certain amount of time. Things were put into place. All right, I don't know. The Chofetz Chaim himself grapples with this. In his lifetime, there was a major hurricane, a few. And they asked him, what is the significance? Do we say that this was a punishment to the world? Or do we say that this was a natural disaster that was built into the world from Maaseh Bereishis? Hashem created the world. He created certain factors, which it's just a time clock. It's a time clock, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen at a certain point in time. There's going to be some event, and it's going to cause a hurricane. So how do you look at natural disasters? I don't remember the answer, but there are chilukei deos. And then he say in a chinami, it's not a sign in Hashemayim that you've done anything wrong. It's part of teva, and you have to deal with it. On the other hand, there are times when it's not like that. Sodom v'Amora. Sodom v'Amora was not meant to be. It was not a natural event that this country was meant to be destroyed. It was the Yad Hashem. This pasuk is very a four winds. And we know Chazal tells us that each of the four winds has a different role, a different attributes, different characteristics, what the four winds do. And here it says in this pasuk, we have a Yavoi Kadim, but make no mistake that this Kadim that's going to come is not a natural event. It's the Ruach Hashem. It's the Ruach Hashem. Does that mean every time there is an event that occurs to a Ruach from the Kadim, from the east wind, are we going to say it's not natural? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has brought this about? I don't know. Yeah?
But if it's spoken of in Tanakh, for example, Kriyas Yamsuf.
Right.
There was a Ruach Kadim.
Oh, very good. You're saying very good. So there, that's for sure the Yad Hashem. That Kriyas Yamsuf was a miracle. It was for sure the Yad Hashem. Here it says again, the Ruach Kadim. So you have to, I don't know.
Even something that's a natural disaster, don't forget, the Rebbe Nishalelu knows what's going to happen. So he knows that just before this natural...
He put you there. He put you, he influenced you to live on this block, so you, because since this person is deserving of punishment, so Hashem knew this natural disaster going to happen, so he influenced you 10 years ago that you should live here, you'll be in the eye of the storm. Okay, Eino Chanami. It's a balance. Obviously, there's a balance. Obviously.
Especially the Ramban says there's no such thing as Teva.
That's right.
Okay, what does Rabban mean? That's a very deep. There is Teva, obviously. What does he mean by that? He means something very deep. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's...
Okay. But then there are things that are more supernatural, like Sodom v'Amor. You can't deny the fact that Sodom v'Amor was something which the pasuk explicitly says was not meant to be, and if Avram would have succeeded in mispalt Hashem, that they should not be destroyed, and if we knew at the end, Soar wasn't destroyed. Only originally the plan was to destroy all five. And the end Hashem held back and did not destroy Soar. They got away with it. So you see that there are events in this world which are not natural, and then there are things that we do know that are natural.
But you do see that wherever Ruach Kodim is mentioned,
it's not natural. You have to study. Is that really so? Every time Ruach Kodim is mentioned, it's a very good topic.
Well, we just
topic.
Came up with four.
What are the four? Yeah, let me hear the four.
Ruach HaKodim no soas ha'arabet.
Okay.
He said Ruach HaKodim by the Yam.
By the Yam, okay. Anios Tarshish, where is it? What context is that?
Right.
Okay. And now we have this. We have over here the Ruach Kodim. So very good. It's a very interesting idea that what about the other three winds? Does that mean that an event that comes from the north wind is natural?
The last plot in the third paragraph of Gittin talks about the four winds,
what their role is, their characteristic.
So it says it causes a lot of damage. And you need the north wind to cool off
the heat.
The effects of the hot wind, and when you have the east wind alone, south and east, you got big trouble.
So it's very fascinating. But you see here that there are four winds, and maybe you could argue that the degree of teva on the other three winds is more natural. Okay, not 100%, as you said from the Ramban, there's no such thing as teva, but relatively speaking, to the Ruach Kodim, where Hashem is more, he shows, Hashem at least reveals that he's more involved in directing the wind. Like, let's go back further to the Mitzvot. Yavi Kodim, Atanam, Mishachot, Be'egli Hazav, Yavi Ruach Kodim, Ruach Chazok, Habo Me'Hashem. This wind comes from Hashem, Ho'ilam, Min Amir, it comes from the desert. She'ain Sham, Dover Lakev, Chazek, Nishivas, Ruach, the wind, so therefore, on the east side of the world at this point, this time, there is no, it is desert land, and there's nothing, no barrier, and therefore the damage is that much greater. The Ruach HaZeh Yavesh, it will dry up, it's hot, Hamokar, not just the what's above the surface. It will dry up what's beneath the surface, the source, the Yachrev Hamayon, the Al Sha'amar Devara B'moshal Yifarei Shloimar Hu. Now he is coming to ask, what's the word who? It says who. Who is who? What is the subject of the word who when it says who yish se? What's the subject? Is that Sancheir? I translated Sancheirif. He's saying, no, that's wrong. Who refers to the wind? Who, it's Elohim HaRuach HaZeh, the subject of the word who yish se, it will plunder the Oitzar called Kli Chemdo. It's this east wind, this east wind is what will do the damage. The who Ashur, okay, it's symbolic. I told you the metaphor, what it's referring to, is referring to Ashur, but we're now describing Ashur as the instrument of Hashem, the east wind, in this mashal, who Ashur Yishlol will plunder Ha'itzah shall call Klei Chemda. Okay, so this very little one over here, beautiful Pshan, the pasuk going to the Mesudos, the pasuk in the beginning is coming. The pasuk is coming to contrast the past with the future. In the past, Ephraim, the Aseres Hashvatim were tzaddikim. They did the will of Hashem, and they were blessed, and they were successful. And Yafri, Loshon Rashi, the Mesudos makes it clear is Loshon Pri. They were fruitful. They were fruitful, they multiplied, they were successful. But now that they have rebelled against Hashem, they have made for themselves the Egli Hazav, they have rebelled against Rechavam, and therefore the east wind here is a metaphor for the kingdom of Ashur will come, and this is always the Yad Hashem, and it will destroy them, it will dry up, not just them, but from the source, and who the wind will plunder, the Oitzar called Kli Chemda. Now let's see over here Rashi, Pasuk as well, says, Kihu Benachem Yafri, Tirgim Yonasan. Arei inun miskiran benin, they are called my children. So firstly, it's who bein. They're called my children. Klal Yisrael are called bonim atem laHashem Elokechem. The Chazal say the Hashem has two sets of children. Who are the two sets of children? Anyone want to guess who the other set of children are? The Malachim. Malachim are called bnei Elokim. Okay, all over in Tanakh. And we're also called Hashem's children. Bonim atem laHashem Elokeichem. Who's the Bechor? Bini Bechori Yisrael. When it says in the past that we are the Bechor, what does that mean? The Bechor relative to who? To the Umos Ha'olam? To Esav? To the Umos Ha'olam? Where do we ever find that the Umos Ha'olam are called the Bonim of Hashem? Never. Nowhere.
Never.
Show me. The Umos Ha'olam are called the Bonim. A Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Only Klal Yisrael are called Hashem's children.
Right. I heard a beautiful word also. It says Malachim. The names always end with the name Aleph Lamed or Vav Nun.
Or Vav Nun. Okay. Yeah. Both. Beautiful. Hear what he's saying? Malachim always end with an Aleph, Rifael. Malach Rifael. Or Al. Or Mitatroin. Mitatroin. He's the chief of staff in Shemayim. Mitatroin. He ends with Reish Nun, right? Vav Nun. So the Malachim, either Aleph Lamed, Kel, or Vav Nun. But Klal Yisrael is both. What's the pasuk again?
Shemayavoscha,
Shavtos, Korosa. Both Yisrael, Aleph Lamed, Vishrus. Could I come just for that today? Vishurun, the Yisrael, and Yishun. Where's the pasuk? In davening, right before in Ashrenu. Before we say Shema, we say with a Balaficha. Beautiful. What?
It's right after the brachas.
Yes. Okay, so you have to look and see where is that pasuk? I do not know. Seis of a Golui. Okay, beautiful. So now going back to what I said before that who are the bond? Do we find anywhere in Tanakh that the Umay Sa'olim are called Hashem's children? I'm not aware. The pasuk says Bonim Atem. La Hashem Elokeichem. Klal Yisrael. Who else are Hashem's children? Malachim.
Yeah.
Malachim, right. Malachim. Malachim are called Bonim throughout all the Chumash and Tanakh Hazal. Okay, but Malachim are called children. So who gets Pishnayim? Who's the Bechor? Who's the Bechor of the two Bonim? Bini Bechori Yisrael. Hashem has two sets of children, the Malachim and us, but we're the Bechor. We are Hashem's.
Clearly they were before we were.
Olam b'machshavta by Hashem, different set of rules. When Hashem created the world, Yisrael the araisa v'kudsha b'richu charu. When Hashem created the world, it was with us in mind, not with the malach in mind.
Maybe a little bit down. It took like some time. Maybe this would be
okay.
Better.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you. So when Hashem created the world, Hashem had us in mind, not the malachim in mind. So we have this tradition. They teach you in kindergarten, every time you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know what that means, but that's what it says. So the malachim come after. They only come after we have succeeded in doing Hashem's ratzon.
You have to ask the kindergarten teachers what they mean.
No, you have to ask Uncle Moshe.
I went to visit my brother. Say, Baruch, he has little kids. Like, they have the sheets in the Shabbos from Parashas. So they say over the Torah. So they have the questions and the answers. And the answers, I started being a little nasty, joking around, and I started dissecting the answer. Where'd you get this answer from? I started being a foul pole with my brother. So my sister-in-law did not lie, so she said, okay, enough. She took it away. She took away the sheets from us.
No more
to challenge the pre-1A teacher.
No more dessert for you.
No more invites.
All right, let's go further. Over here, back to time. Back with ki hu bain. So he says over here something very. He says over here the word bain. It seems the word bain. He says a novel chat. Bain means a child, not between. Ki hu, he is bain with a yud in the middle. Right, I translate the pasuk. You are amongst your brothers. I translate the word achim to mean a brother. Whoever said the word achim means a brother? Maybe the word achim means a meadow. Vatirena ba'ochu. Now it means a meadow. What?
A meadow.
A bush.
It's a marsh.
A marsh. A place to pasture. And who says the word bain means between? So even if you'll translate the word achim to mean a marsh, the word bain can possibly mean a child. And that's exactly what, the Targum is translated. Let's see the words inside of Rashi. It translates the Targum pretty good. It's an array, because inun, they, I mean, so ki means array, inun means they, miskiran are called Benin, they're called children. The Ovadin Mikalkalin Asgiu. Achim, what's the word Achim? So now is the third translation. I told you either it means brothers or it means a marsh. New interpretation, number three, Achim means a Dovara, to misbehave, to do something disgusting, detestable. Achim l'shoin dovar ra. Where do we find the precedent? Kemo och asuya livarok. And that pasuk means something that is not pleasurable. Something which och, it's something that's disgusting. Asuya livarok. It's meant for. I think it means it for destruction. Livarok means lightning. In this context, it means it's
blade.
Is what?
It's made for
a blade to be destroyed. It's something which is not nice, so you want to destroy it. Och, something which is ich. What do you do with something which is disgusting? You throw it in the garbage.
Ha-och.
They cry out. It's an expression when they're in the war and they're about to be defeated. They, instead of saying oy vey, in the ancient times they said ha-och. Ha-och means woe to us. Something horrible is about to happen to us. Something which is not pleasant, what do you do with it? You put it into the paper shredder. Into the shredder. Glvarok means here, in this context, means something which is disgusting, designated to be destroyed. Another pasuk, the Omar, Och el kol tol avos. Ugh, it's disgusting, all of your abominations. You have committed abominations, and in the eyes of Hashem, these abominations are unpleasant, are disgusting. So here, who bane? So here, so far, now we have to go back and read the pasuk so far. Ki hu, it is that, bane, it is, he is a child. Bain is Lashon of Ben, Yoshua bin Nun. Last week's parasha, an unusual expression. Why does it say Bin? It should say Ben Nun. What's Bin? So obviously we see the word Bain and Bin are interchangeable. Okay, whatever the reasons are, that's subject to a lot of interpretation, machdrush, pshat, whatever it is. But one thing we do see for sure is that the word bain and bin are interchangeable. Here as well, kihu bain, he is a child. Achim, that is disgusting. That whose behavior is unseemly. Who is unpleasant. Yafri, he's a para adam. Is a paradigm. You cannot. If you bend your head backwards, you would not do. You'll do whatever you want to do. You'll knock him out with better insults than Hosea. Hosea was very Chazal said. There was no one who knew how to insult Klal Yisrael better than Hosea. We learned that in the beginning of Sefer Hosea. Here is another very creative example of saying some very unpleasant things about Klal Yisrael. He's a child who is Achim, who is disgusting. Yafri, he behaves like Yishmael is a paradigm. Yafri l'shoin poire roish v'la'ana. It is blossoming with bitterness. Two different herbs which are bitter. It's an expression in Hazinu or in Nitzavim. Poire roish v'la'ana. Nitzavim vayela. Nitzavim. Poire roish v'la'ana. So now we take the pasuk together. It says it's a very nasty insult. Not like the Mitsudois that translated this expression as a contrast, as an opening to contrast with what's going to be in the future. To review, the Mitsudos said that in the past, Klal Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim were tzaddikim. In the past, they were amongst their brothers, meaning with Yehuda, Binyamin, and amongst themselves, Yafri. They, amongst their brothers, blossomed. They were successful. They served Hashem. But now they've turned sour, and therefore they're going to suffer the consequences. Rashi says no such thing, at least according to the Targum. He's quoting the Targum. We're getting right to the point, cut to the chase. Ki hu, this Malchus, the Aseres HaShvatim, who they are like a bane, a child, Achim, who misbehaves, who is unpleasant, Yafri, who is out of control. Send him to the psychologist. Do something to him. He needs discipline. What's going to happen now? Then Rashi goes on to say, "Vani yomer achim." I have my interpretation. L'shoyn v'atir eno ba'ochu the meadow. Bein achim yafri. What does that mean? Mafriach v'tzmech ba'ochu. They are blossoming in the ochu. Bein achim. Bein hagadel v'palgei mayim. Asher tamid yafri. Whatever grows along the marsh, the meadows, the streams of water. It always grows because there's no limitation. It's never withheld water. Tamid Yafri. So Rashi is learning a similar approach like the Mitsudos who are discussing the past. And Rashi is saying that in the past, Ephraim was like a vegetation that grew between amongst the marshes. Yafri, it blossomed. It blossomed, Yafri, as if we have the letter Hey instead of the letter Aleph. It blossomed, they were successful. Similar to the Mitsudos, but a different translation of the words to bring out the same idea. Now, because they have sin, there's going to be what's going to happen. Yavai Kadim, the Yevosh Mikaroi, and now they're going to be dried up. And according to Rashi, Rashi has the benefit that the end of the Pasuk fits much better than the Mitsudos, because according to the Mitsudos, what does the beginning of the Pasuk have to do with the end of the Pasuk? According to the Mitsudos, in the past, they were amongst their brothers, they were successful. But now, a dry wind will come and wipe them out. What does a dry wind have to do with the beginning of the Pasuk when they were successful, they produced fruit? But according to Rashi, it makes a lot of sense. In the beginning, they were vegetation growing on the marshes, which is moist, wet. Now, because they have seen that wetness, that lachaluchis will cease to exist and they will dry out. Davarach, another interpretation. Kihu bein achim yafri, referring to one person. Yeravam hu bein shehifri achvason shel Yisrael. He breached, he negated the brotherhood of the Jewish people. Al yodoy nechluku l'shtei mamlochois. Yafri l'shoin pera adam. That's really the same thing he said before. That this is what he said in the beginning. Poire roish v'lana. Maybe not. Maybe he's saying something. I didn't really pay attention when I prepared. He seems to be saying over here is that the word pera and pore are two different words. Because pore, by the way, is with a hey. and pair them with an aleph. It seems that according to Rashi's first interpretation, yaf pore rosh v'lana means bitterness. I translated originally is that they're wild, that the mamleches, the aseres hashvatim, they are bane. They are a child, like a child, who is achim, who is unpleasant, does unpleasant things. Yafri, who is wild. I take that back. That's not really what Rashi seems to be saying. It means a bitter child. The child has a tinge of bitterness, the difference between a child who is wild and a child who is bitter. So a whole different analysis, a whole different approach in dealing with his situation. So that's seemingly how Rashi in his first interpretation, since he says the word par comes from Pore Rosh Vilana, and those are herbs which are bitter. And here he says a noopshat. Here's where, for the first time, he introduces the concept called Pere Adam. And in this interpretation, he's saying is that we're referring specifically to Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat was a wild man. He was a wild person. And look what he was, a bane. He was, who, this person, who over here, according to this interpretation, is the who is the subject of the word who? Yeravam ben Nevat. What did he do? Yafri, he made a breach. He put a wedge in between brothers. The worst thing that you can possibly do, to make a breach between brothers. Brothers are meant to be together. And when brothers fight, it's the greatest chil Hashem. The Ramban says this. The Ramban that talks about this, that's what they're called achim. Achim are meant to be together. That's why they're called an ach. I have some drasha why achim. And whenever brothers fight, that's the worst of the worst. It's not so bad when strangers fight. If you're not related to someone, you want to fight, okay. So go into the wrestling ring, go into the boxing ring and go fight it out. But when brothers fight one another, this is a different league of chilul Hashem. And especially when the world sees it, it's just a horrible thing. So here it says, Kihu ben Achim Yafri. So he's saying here, that's exactly what was the chait of Yerub ben Nevat. He's the one who put a wedge between brothers. Klal Yisrael, there are 12 Shvatim, all brothers. To divide the Malchus between the Aseres HaShvatim and Yehudim and Yamin is what the Pasuk here is describing according to Rashi's third Pshat. Who? Yerub ben Nevat, ben Achim, between brothers. We're going back to the parish of the Mitzudos, between brothers. Yafri, he put a wedge. What's Yafri? Pera Adam. Wildness. Wildness has a connotation. You go in different directions. You go, you're not together. You're not together, you spread out. Yafri Lushan Per Adam. Okay, so this is an amazing, so many perushim. You go dizzy. Okay, we got already gone through Mitzudos and Rashi. And no wonder when it comes to the Haftarah, people don't know what's going on in the Haftarah. We'll read this in the Haftarah, this Pasuk. This Pasuk is the Haftarah for Parashat Vayetze. We say this pasuk, and now you see how rich this pasuk is, how many possible perushim means. Every single word over here is subject to interpretation. Does bein mean amongst, or does it mean a child? Does achim mean, does it mean brothers? Does it mean something which is detestable? Does it mean a marsh? Or does yafri, does it mean to be fruitful? Does it mean bitterness? Or does it mean wildness, to cast a wedge? All these different perushim, they all come together. You have so many different perushim in this one pasuk. Next, the Rashi goes further. Yovei kodin ve'yivosh mikaroi. A wind will, east will come and will drop the source of Racher. Ki hu bein achim yav. Oh, he's not finished yet. No, I'm sorry. The next words, the second to last line in Rashi. Yovei kodin melech takif. Who is the yovei kodin? This is a metaphor for Sancheriv. Melech takif kirul is the targum. Kiruach ki duma b'memra da Hashem me'orach mad bira yisak. A strong king, like the east wind, through the word of Hashem, Hashem will inspire him to ascend. Or over the desert, he will travel in the desert. To come from Ashur to Eretz Yisrael, you have to travel through desert land. Me'orach madbera Yisaki will ascend upon Klal Yisrael. Hu Yishseh, who is the subject of the word who? Remember, the Mitzudah said it refers to the wind which is the metaphor for Ashur. So here he says almost the same thing. Hu Yishseh, Oisai HaMelech. Yishseh will plunder Eitzres Kol Kleichem, Dosai, all of the delightful things that the Jewish people have in their possession. Let's see the Radak. The Radak Pasek.
What does Yishseh mean?
To plunder.
Plunder.
Plunder is to take as spoils. Let's see the Radak. Radak, Pasuk Tezvav, page 199. Kihu, ki Ephraim hoya mafri ben achim. Actually, also ha'agolim hoya olich v'godel ufayre ben echav. He learns with Yafri as if there is a hey, and a hey. The word periya or revia is a hey. And he says, like everyone says, they in the past, we're contrasting the past with what's going to be in the future. Ephraim, in the past, was fruitful. K'moy shomar Yaakov, olav ulam, achiv hakaton yigdal mimenu, v'zaro yim ala goyim. Aviato, now you have sin shechata, yavoy kodim ruach Hashem, hu melech Ashur, v'him shilo l'kodim, shu ruach mizrachis, ki eretz Ashur mizrachis l'eretz Yisrael, v'omar oid, it's very simplistic so far, kodim l'fit shu ruach kosheh, harshwin. V'yam ruach Hashem, l'hagdil haruach l'chazkodan. Here he says something very important. He's saying over here, this goes back to what I started with. I told you, and this everyone said before, this the Radak is coming to deviate. He's coming to deviate from all of the Mefarshim. And this, as a Mechol, he pointed out all the four places where you find other examples, where you find the Ruach Hashem, the Ruach Hashem by Kriyas Yamsuf. What does it mean there? Ruach Hashem.
No, Ruach Kodim.
Ruach Kodim. Right. So here it says the word, it says, it's the Ruach Hashem. Now he's saying something that is very shocking. It's shocking to say. And that is, I told you it means, it's Hashem is calling the shots. There is an extra special dosage of Hashkocha Pratis. We all know nothing happens by coincidence. Everything is the Yad Hashem. It's just some things are more disguised than other. But the Ruach Kodim, being that it is associated with Pasuk, goes out of its way to say it's Hashem, indicates that here it's not so hard to see the Yad Hashem. Hashem makes it easy for you to see Hashem's Hashkocha Pratis. That's why it says Ruach Hashem. It's not, you see the divine workings. The Radak is alluding to an idea. I don't know if he says Mamash B'Peh Mole, is that, no, that's not what it means. Whenever you take Aleph Lamed, Kel, when you take Aleph Lamed,
no, I think it's this, but it touches the...
Okay, it touches my collar. Okay, we'll see. Whenever you have Aleph Lamed at the Aleph Lamed, El means power. Yesh le'el yadi. Lavan said to Yaakov, it's in my power to bring harm upon you. We borrow the word El, Aleph Lamed, and we associate it with Hashem because Hashem is the ultimate power.
But
we associate it with power. So when you take the word El and you connect it to an object, it means this object or this Mitzvah is very mighty. It's above average. Now, by extension, and this is a shocking thing to say, you can take Yud Kei Vav Kei, the whole name of Hashem, Hoya Hoya V'yeh, and if you attach it to an object or to a concept or to a midah, it does not necessarily mean has anything to do with Hashem, with the Rebbe. It's nothing divine. It's a borrowed term, shocking to borrow from Hashem. You don't borrow from Hashem, but over here the Radak seems to be saying that when you take Hashem's name and you associate it with something, it means this is very powerful. In Mitzias, in Teva, in nature. In nature, there is the west wing, there is the north wind, there is the south wind, and there is the east wind. The east wind is al derech ha-teva. Forget about hashkocha pratis, the Yad Hashem, divine intervention. It's just, in nature, a more powerful wind. And the way you express that is by borrowing yud-kei vav-kei, which represents the ultimate, infinite power beyond human comprehension.
But not power, not strong. Kel is strong. Yud-kei vav-kei is more Rachmanis.
Right, that's why you would not expect it. But yet, that's what the Radak is doing. Exactly. I told you, this is something which is very shocking. According to the Rashi and the Mitzudos, they don't go that way. They don't know. Adarabba, it says Yud-kei vav-kei, it means there is divine intervention. There's always divine intervention, but here Hashem is allowing you to see it. Here, the Radak is saying, when we hear the words Yud-kei vav-kei, we're doing something entirely different. And mighty mountains. In that pasuk, Hari El, it doesn't mean divine mountains. It means they're awesome. they're just much larger, much more intimidating than the average mountain. So he's saying something that is shocking. We're going to do the same thing for Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Really? Who gave you the right to take Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and append it to wind to bring out the point that the wind is more mighty than other winds? But that's what he does. It's an amazing thing, what he's doing, the Radak. It's very novel. Arzeel, all of his examples are from El. Shal Heves Yoh, he wants to say Yoh. Another example that's not El, but that's Yud Hei. Also Hashem's name. We're appending it to the Shal Heves, to the flame. The flame is not your ordinary flame. It's a very massive flame. So here he says, no big deal. If we find a precedent to do this with El and with Yud Hei, why not go further and take the whole name of Hashem and append it to a word or a concept in order to magnify and to express the uniqueness and the mighty of this object? Now another pshat. Okay, that's period number one. Period. Period. And now he says the pashup shal, like what it said in the Mitzudos. Now the reason why it says Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is just telling you that in this instance, there is an extra special dosage of divine intervention. Something which is unique. The Omar Gamkein, another interpretation, Ruach Hashem, Lufi Shoakel Yisbach Heir Es Ruchai, Hashem inspired the heart of Sancheriv, Lavoi Al Yisrael, V'chein Omar, Vayoar Elokei Yisrael, Hashem aroused the God of the Jews, Es Ruach Pul Melech Ashur, that was his name, he had many names. Okay, what was the name of Sancheriv? There's a Machloikis. How many kings were this? One opinion holds, it's all one person with many names. And in each part of Tanakh where it mentions Melech Asher, we describe the different name to emphasize a different aspect, a different dimension of his personality, or a different dimension of what he has done to Klal Yisrael. Pul Melech Asher v'yes ruchay, pil neser Melech Asher v'chulu v'chein kosav. It says all the different names of Melech Asher, Melech Asher, Al Shemroin, Vayotzar Olecha. Okay, so very interesting. Two, you say this here in this Radak. When it says Ruach Hashem, does that mean the Ribbono Shel Olam is here? He's intervening, or does it mean no? It's Teva. Teva, of course, is the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it's Teva, and we're borrowing from Hashem's name to magnify the might, the awesomeness of this strong wind. Next, Mibibar Oile, he will come from the desert. Ki ruach hu tamid b'midbar. Wind is always in the desert because there's nothing holding it back. Oyperush ki midbar yesh ben eretz shal eretz Ashur. There is a desert between Umnei Ois Haruach Shu Melech Ashur, and because of that Haruach, the ruach is a metaphor for Melech Ashur. Yevoish mikor Ephraim. In the beginning, he was like a tree that was fruitful upon water. Bain Poiros Yosef. Yosef is a fruitful child. Bain Poiros Ale Oyin upon the well, upon the spring. Now, these all grammar, which is not going to help us. That wind, okay, so that's pretty much the Radak. Now let's take a look at the Malbum. The Malbum. Pasuk Tezvav. The Malbum learns that this pasuk goes back to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk Hashem says, I'm not going to change my mind. There will be no change. There is a gzerah that has been sealed in blood that the Jewish people that will go into exile. Rak bein achim, he will not carry fruit. Rak bein achim, what does that mean? The eish she Yisrael achim umischabrim ze lo ze os hoye efsharus el ha neicham. Vuhu ki kvar hiswer shabimeh sheben elo his nichu es avodis al golem. They rejected idolatry. Ubidlu es haparadisois, the sentries that were stationed by the roads, the black people going to Yerushalayim, Shahayim Shlayalu Yisholu Regal, they took them away. Rak Shahayu Kidai Shachok Alav Mitam Zeh Vilshinu Lemelech Ashur, The Oz Mavor Bidivra Yamim Periklam Shachiska Shalach Shaluchim El Ashvatim Shiyashuv El Hashem. They sent messengers, Vahoyim Mesachakim Alehem, they mocked him. Umiktsasam Nichnu Vyavol Yushlaim Hare Hayu Beneim Oz Shtekitois. There were two groups. Let's just review the words and we'll explain in one moment. The Ali De Zeloi Hifri Sham Hanoicham. The Noicham did not blossom. Period. The lo shavu kulam, because of this it did not blossom. The lo shavu kulam b'shuva, they did not do tshuva. V'gam Hashem lo nicham al harav yaidei kein yavoi kodim. So he's saying here something very interesting, is that the achim refers to the division in Klal Yisrael. Yafri is referring back to the Yafri is the blossoming of regret. Isn't that interesting that regret, we're in a situation here, according to the Malbim, in the previous Pasuk, not the previous Pasuk, we go back a few Pasukim, we're going back to where was the word? No, there are this part here, this Pasuk. Noicham yisoser me'inoi. Hashem says, the Gezerah is sealed. There's going to be a Churban. There's going to be the Sheol of Ketef. There's going to be the death of Dever. If you remember from the last week, there's a harsh gezerah. I'm not changing my mind. What do you mean you're not changing your mind? There's always an opportunity to do teshuvah. Vayinochem al hara'ah. How could the Pasuk say that Hashem is not going to change his mind? Hashem always allows himself to change his mind to remove harm from Klal Yisrael. So the answer is that's correct. But it's a process. It's a process which is compared to the growing of fruit. When fruit blossoms, first comes the flower, then there's a little petal, a little bud. It's a long, long process. And the long process means it represents a Klal Yisrael has to work. They have to work very hard and change their corrupt way of life to get on the better side of Hashem, to allow Hashem to change his mind. The process of Vayinochem al Hora'ah is compared to the blossoming of a fruit. And the primary thing, and in this pasuk says, Kihu bein achim yafri, now the Malbim is saying, Kihu, one more time, let's just not to read inside, but I'm going to get a little confused. According to the Malbim, the Ali de Zeloi Hifri Shom Hanoicham. It did not blossom the Noicham Pirioi. Veloi Shavu Kulo. So how do we read the words again? Let's go back just one more time. Kua Noicham Lo Yisa Pri Rak Ho Lo Yisa Pri Rak Beinachim. He will not lift up fruit. Rak Beinachim Be'eshe Yisrael Achim. Ah, okay. So it's a statement. He who is Hashem? According to this interpretation, the word who, the subject of who is who? The Ribbonoi Shel Olam. Contrast this interpretation where we learned in the Mitzvot and Rashi, the word who refers either to the wind, that's the who, or who refers to the king of Ashur. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Maybe that is the second who. That's the second who. Yishet. Strike that. That was the second who. But according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, who is the subject of the word who? Ephraim. The Malchus of Ephraim. They are Bein Achim Yafri. All the various interpretations. According to one interpretation, we're referring specifically to Yerovam ben Nevat. According to Rashi's last interpretation, who is Yerov ben Nevat? He, Bein Achim Yafri, he wedged a breach between the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael. According to all of the other interpretations, we are describing the Malchus of Ephraim as either a child that is doing very unseemly things. He is a child who is Achim, who is unpleasant, Yafri, and is bitter. Or Kihu Achim Yafri, he among in the past he would among the meadows he would be fruitful, but according to all of the interpretations that we learned so far, the word who is referring to the Malchus of Ephraim. Along comes the Malbim and he says the word who refers to the Ribono Shel Olam. Hashem, what does Hashem want to do? Hashem wants to yafri. He wants that there should be blossoming. What's the subject of the word blossoming? That's the verb. What's the subject? The last words of the previous pasuk. Noicham. Noicham. Hashem is seeking with his utmost that he should change his mind. Hashem desperately wants to fulfill what it says in the Torah. Vayinochem, vayinochem al hora'ah. Just like by the eagle, Hashem wants to change his mind. Hashem wants to do this. But Hashem says, I will only do this when there is brotherhood. Only when there is achdus. Ki hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam, read the words backwards, is yafri. He brings about the blossoming of noicham, of changing his mind, not to bring churban to Klal Yisrael, only bein achim, only when Klal Yisrael is in a state of achdus. But here, at the time of the Aseres HaShvatim, one of the primary sins was a lack of achdus. Where do we see that? Well, first of all, the whole Aseres HaShvatim in and of itself was a division between the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. But even amongst themselves, what happened towards the end of the 200 years of their Malchus, Hoshea ben Ela, he decided, enough is enough. No more Avodah Zarah. It's time we should worship Hashem. And the only place to worship Hashem is in the Beis HaMikdash. We move the guards on the roads. Let the people be Oyla Yerushalayim. They took it away, and people began to go to Yerushalayim to serve Hashem. It wasn't good for business. The Egle Zav, the people who made Parnasa from the Agolim in Basil and Don, the rulers who worshipped idols, were not happy that we were now allowed to serve Hashem. They wanted to serve idols. So what did they do? They were Malshin Hoshea to Melech Ashur. They told Melech Ashur, they sent him a secret file showing him, giving him a recording of the conversations that Melech Ashur, that Hoshea had with Mitzrayim. All the secrets between that, and what were they were conspiring to rebel against the superpower of the day, Melech Ashur. When Melech Ashur listened to these recordings, he got all the records, he heard all the Lashon Hara, that King of Hoshea is really rebelling against him. So what did he do? He went and he conquered. He went immediately and he took him prisoner. He merely went and he conquered. And that brought about, and that started the process. Not only did he conquer Hoshea, he said, you know what? Let me conquer the whole thing. Let me take you all out of here. You're making trouble for me. So it's only because of the Lashon Hara, the Malshin, the king Hoshea, to the king of Ashur, why this whole thing happened. How dare you? How dare the Jewish people, just because they don't like what the king did, the king went and tried to persuade them to worship Hashem and not to worship idols, how dare you go and make a machloikas in Klal Yisrael? Take it up with him. Don't go and make a machloikas, make a division. So there was discord and there was division amongst the Aseres HaShvatim itself. What else was there? After they started to do Avodah Zarah, after they did, the Golus did begin. So what did Chizkiyo say? Chizkiyo said, I'll help you. You're my brothers. Do tshuva. I'll come to your aid. I'll send in my soldiers. I'll help you. And what did they say? Get lost. Some people did. Some people just said, okay, we'll do tshuva. And indeed, they did run to Chizkiyo. And many people said no. And there were two different groups now in the kingdom. The only hope was to be helped by the Malchus of Yehuda. And there was a machlokes amongst the Aseres HaShvat, amongst themselves. Which camp are you? Are you from the people that are going to be loyal to Chizkiyahu? Or you're going to be in the camp that's going to be not loyal to Chizkiyahu, not be willing to take aid from Chizkiyahu? So there was a machlokes. And because of this machlokes, Hashem says, there is no way in the world it is possible anymore for there to be noicham. For the noicham, for the regret to blossom. So it's a beautiful idea. It's a mamish musar chazak, b'zman hazeh is telling you over here that no matter what happens, if there's achdus, what nothing else can accomplish, achdus can accomplish. Leich, kinois, es kol ha-yehudim. That's all you got to do. Just kinois. You don't have to even do vitzumu olai, shloishes. You don't even need that. If you have Lech Kenais Kol HaYehudim, you're already 99.9% there. And according to the Malon's incredible novel interpretation of this pasuk, going against all of the Rishonim, he says the amazing pshat. It's amazing. How does an Achman go have the courage to go up against all of the Rishonim and say these incredible things at one pasuk after another? He reads into the pasukim these amamish incredible yisaidas. Ki who? Do we know who is? Not like Rashi, not like the Targum, not like the Mitzudas, not like the Radak. When did the Malm live? Not that long ago. He lived pretty recently. Okay, pretty recently. 150 years ago. It's a shocking 150 years ago. He's here. He's proudly displaying the art scroll. Look how he takes up most of the space. Is for the Malbim and the Arsh called Magros Gadol. They only lived 150 years ago. And we have over here as competition. Who's the Targum? Targum goes back. Mamash Misinai. Misinai. We're going back. How far we go back? Rashi, the Rishonim over here. And he says, incredible Chidushim. Ki hu, the Ribbono Shel Olam is only willing to be Yafri to allow the Noicham, the regret, the nullification of Gezeros Rois. He's only going to let this blossom Bein Achim. Only if there's Achdus. And if there's no Achdus, forget it. And because, now he reads this, and because this was the issue of the day. The issue of the Aseres HaShvatim was Machloikis. There's no Achdus. There's no Achdus, not between you and your king, not between you and yourself, not between you and the Malchus of Yehuda. So what do you expect? What do you expect? The end's going to be. It's not going to be good. It's going to be a Churban. That's how we live Shad. It's live Shad in the Pasuk. Unbelievable. Okay, let's finish up the Malam. Now we go to the next one. Who Al Yidei Chen Yavei Kadim. Al Yidei Ze Yavei Aleim Melech Ashur. Shabu Oz. Aleihem Ruach Mizrach. Me'ever Hayadim V'Holach Derech HaMidbar. Who Yavei Ruach Hashem. Shehashem Shelochai Aleihem. So you see, he's learning now like the Radak. He doesn't like that, what the Radak said, obviously. To say that Hashem, you can borrow the Yudkei Vavkei to mean that it's a powerful wind. That's going a little bit, isn't it a little of a stretch, what the Radak said? To take the whole Yudke Vavke and append it to the Ruach to mean that it's a mighty wind? He doesn't say that. It's a Hashem, it's divine intervention. He destroyed the land. That's the Makor Yisrael. The Makor says is, the Makor is the Sharash Klal Yisrael's roots are in Eretz Yisrael. The Ayde Zen, through this, That's very simple. That's really what we said everything along until now. Okay, now before we finish up, we have almost done over here. One more thing over here. Just look at the Marie Caro just says the same thing. She points out that same idea. Vatir ena ba'ochui. Okay, Yafra kiperesh shiroyitz bein achim. Okay, we did that. We already discussed those ideas. And let's just see a Maimer Chazal to finish this pasuk for today. He talks about just the power of the wind. We're not going to really.
Rashi and Mishalach by the sea. It says Rashi brings out all the places where it says Kadib.
Oh, he does.
Pasuk from Yecheskel, pasuk from Yirmiyah, pasuk from Yishaiah.
The east is the very powerful wind.
It's that God uses the east wind to pay Rishayim there.
Wicked. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Tezvav in the Likud Shas. Okay, we'll just run through very quickly. Just we want to point out the power. This one is obviously there's a lot of deep concepts in what this Chazal says. I don't know any clue what it means, but just to run through it very quickly. Amar Rava, Hachi Amar Rav, Isha Mapelis Boy Mechmas Ruchah Kodim. The east wind is very dangerous. A woman has a miscarriage. If she's caught in the east wind, somehow that wind has an effect upon her. Ushul Shmuel says, Afilu Margolish Shabayam Markeves Boy. Even pearls in the sea rot. They decay because of this wind. Rav Yochanan Amar, Afilu Shichva Zer Sheb Meisha Mesrach Hasboi, even the Shichva Zera, before she's pregnant, even that earlier stage. Obviously, these things are very deep ideas. I don't know what they mean. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Shul Shloshim Mikra Chadarshu, Ki Hu, they all darsh from this one pasuk. Ki Hu Ben Achim Yafri, Yavai Kodim Ruch Hashem Yibar Oil of Yevesh Mekoroi. Yevesh Mekoroi, the first Mekoroi, Zo Mekoroi Shalisha. That's the fetus. The Yechrav Maino, the fountain, Zeshichva Zera, even the Zera will decay. Shemeisha. Who Yishe, Oitza Kol Klechemda, the Oitza Klechemda will be destroyed, Zomar Golish Shebayam, even the pearls in the sea will rot. Omar Rava, Adi Dabrazem Mishel B'nei Suroha, who did I Kikra, the B'nei Surah, they were Chachamim, Maiki Ben Achim Yafri, Omar Rava Shafilu Shutfa de Kufino de Mora, Yodis H. Shemresh Hamader Rafia, Mishra Fefes. The shovel, the handle that is inserted into the blade that's the handle and the blade that are connected, through the east wind it gets dislodged. Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Siksa de Bedafna, a peg, Hatuka Bekir in the wall, nails in the wall, they fall out when there's an east wind. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Afilu Kanya Bekufta, Kone Ha'orig Basal, a stick that's woven into a basket that holds the basket becomes weak. This pasuk we mentioned over here. So basically over here means the east wind is something very unique. We have six examples of what the east wind is capable of doing. And obviously these things refer to very deep concepts, which we'll have to figure out at another time. We finished the 13th parak. And in Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow we go into Perek Yudalit.
It says by Noah.